Would you rather own 100% of a little grape or 10 to 30% of a massive watermelon? Welcome to the Nine Doors Down Show, where we discuss anything and everything about commercial real estate and investing. Let's get it, get it, get it, get it.
Nine Doors Down.
John Lopez.
Nine Doors Down.
Hi, this is Tony Rose.
Nine Doors Down.
Hi, this is Anthony Pimentel.
Educating, capital raising, networking.
Nine Doors Down.
This is called a show!
What's up, y'all? Welcome to another episode of the Nine Doors Down Show. Anthony, it's been a minute since we've been on, man.
Yeah, it's been some time. I mean, at least a month, and we've just been busy. And I'm glad we're back on this and getting to chat with our guests and get back into it.
Yeah, this guest on this episode, what really excites me is we get to see a young entrepreneur getting into the first deal, going through all the ropes of like education, and then actually taking action, which is the most impressive thing that I see from this guy. So this gentleman, he goes by the name of Willie Henriquez. Willie feels fortunate to have discovered through peers and mentors a unique way to work in a real estate investing that aligns with personal and professional goals. Willie was, before his entrepreneur career, worked in healthcare industry, taking care of individuals with disabilities for 7 years. He is a serial entrepreneur with the experience of owning a trucking company and doing a single family flips. He currently owns a small junk removal company and used appliance business. He has experience in business operations, management, and financials. He primarily focuses on answering and solving real estate investors' problems and questions regarding investing in multifamily properties. Moreover, he sees himself as an advisor by helping investors achieve their financial goals. He builds his relationships based on trust and integrity. So everyone that's out there stuck in traffic, maybe listen to this podcast while in the shower, washing dishes, let's welcome our featured guest, Mr. Willie Henriquez.
Thank you. It's an honor to be here, guys.
Awesome. Awesome. Thank you.
You know, Willie, when I first started interacting with you on like, the various social media groups that we're in, I couldn't help but notice your young energy, man. Your profile picture was very professional. It was very authentic. It was you. But the more and more I start talking to you, like on direct messages, I'm like, damn, this is a young cat. That's like, he's trying to get it.
I ain't that young. I'm only 33, but
bro, put it this way. I didn't get this mindset until I was 40, man. So you're young in my book, bro. Tell us about life before your group Cashflow Empire, man.
So a little bit of myself. My name is Willie. I'm based out of Connecticut. I'm Dominican and Puerto Rican. So before I joined the Cashflow Empire group, so I'll just start from the beginning, like my family. And then so my dad actually came to the United States illegally. So I was born in Puerto Rico. My mom had me when I was 14. Unfortunately, my little brothers, they burned down the house down in Puerto Rico. So that's how I came to America at age 7 years old. So I've been in America since age seven. I was raised by my dad most of my life. I was always a daddy's boy, right? My dad, he took care of four of us. Barber, he's really one of like my inspirations because he was doing it all by himself. Low income, so I grew up in a rough childhood growing up, you know, not a lot of money. You could say we didn't have couches in the house, you know, sometimes we didn't have food in the house, stuff like that, because just single dad, barber. As we know, barbers, as a day, sometimes they have no clients, right? And then back then, haircuts were like $10, $15. Now people are paying $50. But back then, right, haircuts were cheap. So you could get a haircut for $5 back then, right? That's how low it was. So it was rough, right? Growing up in that environment with my dad. However, he worked hard. He gave up a lot for me. A little bit about him. He actually played double A baseball in Puerto Rico. But once he had me, he gave that up. And if we all know Dominicans, they live, breathe, sweat, blood, baseball. So for him to give that up when I was born, I have to This is why I work hard, right? I have to repay him. I feel like I have to, one way or another, retire him. And yeah, that's why I started real estate, because of him. And then now I got daughters, got three little ones that actually push me every day too to be a better dad.
I love that, Willie, man. You know, like I believe there's not enough strong family men that's out there, man. So kudos to your dad. What did he tell you, like when he decided to give up on his dreams?
He didn't tell me nothing. He showed me. You know what I mean? He
Really?
started working. Actions speak louder than words. So he's been a hard worker, and I always follow him. I got my entrepreneur mindset because of him. Because when I was little, I used to walk literally like 10 minutes to his barbershop just to sweep chairs, right? Get $2, $1 a chair, right? I just always followed my dad wherever he went and continued, right? So that's why he ain't told me. He just showed me how to like really what hard work was, how to be a dad to provide for kids and stuff like that.
That's a really inspiring story. I mean, it's crazy, right? He doesn't have to tell you. He doesn't have to sit you down and be like, "Hey, this is what we should do," or "This is what you should do when you get older." He's in the grind, you know. He's hustling. $5 haircuts. Nowadays, barbers are making a killing. It's a great business now. But no, that's really awesome that to have like a I guess kind of your mentor, your father figure that just really was just doing what he's supposed to do to take care of you guys, and then end up, you know, he doesn't realize that you're watching him. So that's pretty amazing.
And he pushed me a lot. A little also side note, right? I'm the first person in my family on my mom's side to actually receive some college. So education wasn't really like big on my mom's side of the family, but my dad, he took a 13-hour boat ride from Dominican Republic to Puerto Rico. So he risked a lot, right, just to make it here. So just his story, how he worked hard, where he came from. Dominican, how he's very family oriented, always work sending money to his family out there, sending barrels of like blue big barrels, put them on a boat, always doing that. Just it just deep inside me, man, that I have to work hard for, one day repay him.
Do you ever think that background of like not having a much like formal education actually helped you as an entrepreneur?
Yes, because I value in the beginning, right? I didn't value it because of growing up with my mom's side, right? I didn't care. I used to, my mom didn't. I love her now. We have a great relationship. However, during growing up, it was like rocky, right? Because she was very young. She was very young, right? She had me at 14, so that was a young mom. And then she's basically learning how to be a mom as a teenager, right? And then didn't have anybody on her side to really teach her how to be a mother, because most of my mom's side of the family, they didn't grad, they didn't honestly, they didn't reach high school. This is the environment it was. This is what they were being taught. That's all they know, right? You don't know what you don't know, right? And that's what it was learning. So, for me, education, because my dad installed me, has been very important for me. So that's why I educate. I invest in myself a lot, right? I invested in a mastermind to learn about multifamily. I invested in, capital raising, underwriting, and then different groups to be part of, you know what I mean? Because it's very important to invest in yourself, and knowledge is power, but you also gotta take action.
Welcome to the course on raising capital for investments. In this course, we'll cover the following topics. One, analyzing your investment strategy. Number two, discovering potential investors. Three, crafting your pitch. Four, securing your investment. Five, our cheat code. We'll round out the program with our very own cheat code for getting in front of investors and being ready to pitch your investment opportunities. Take action today. Visit schoolofninedoorsdown.com and learn to attract capital.
So let's fast forward, through your high school, you graduated high school, did a little bit of college. What kind of got you into, I know you mentioned some businesses in, having your own appliance store, used appliance,
So,
and junk
fast
removal, I
forward,
think, right?
right? Fast forward. When I got into college, a little bit of college, I was actually the reason I had to leave college. I had to drop out because I was working a full-time factory job. I was working 16-hour shifts and also taking five college courses at the same time. So it was like 5 days a week. I was actually working 6 days a week, but for school 5 days a week. So I got overwhelmed by however I had to help my dad, right? How to pay the bills, and then I had to help the family out. So you know. After that, I started working, started taking care of people with disabilities for 7 years. And then COVID hit, and that's when I started my entrepreneur life. I didn't, based on my beliefs, I didn't take the vaccine. Everybody has their belief. I didn't take it, and I started a trucking company with a couple friends. And then during that journey, like I think for 2 years, in May 2022, my sister found a mastermind. And she's the one that actually got me into multifamily. She went to a 1 day course, then the 3 day, and then she inv I was the last person to for her to invite. She invited her boyfriend. He didn't go. She invited one of her realtor friends. She didn't go. Then that's when she invited me, and I was sold on this because I always wanted to do real estate. I just didn't have the platform or that had the right direction, the right mentor, the right people to actually get me into it. But you know, God's calling, I was there that day, and you know, I paid the money and started my journey. During this whole journey, I started my a used appliance company and a junk removal company for some vendors that my sister, she managed over 700 units. So I'm like their vendor for these services.
That's powerful, man. When you stepped into that first day one in that conference, right, where they're, people, this is where they weed out the pretenders from the contenders and pay into the mastermind. What was the energy like in that room?
Man, so you know, they actually, you know, it's a 3 day course, right? You know, a lot of it is sales. However, it's like if you're there for a reason, right? You was researching, well, my sister, right? She was researching how to invest in real estate or how to invest in multifamily, right? So, you know, ads, so this mastermind popped up in her timeline. So, you know, she went there. But when I was there, the energy, man, there's a lot of people raised their hand, you know what I mean, and invested themselves. However, it's like the way I look at it is like this journey, real estate is not for everybody, right? You gotta have the mindset because it's a long-term journey, and there's a lot of up and downs. And if like for me, for the adversity I went through life, I already knew whatever I sign up for, I'm gonna go take it long term, right? I've been through a lot all my life that anything that comes in, I'm gonna take it head on. And then people that come into, you know, when you join a mastermind, right? And then you don't know about a lot of adversity there because, you know, a lot of people come from into real estate, but they don't have no experience, right? So all that adversity that you gotta face in real estate makes you back up. Like, man, is this for me? And then a lot of people give up. So like a lot of people I started with in my class, I say in a group chat, it was like 27 people in this that paid, invested themselves, right? And I'm the only one still in it in this class.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah, so it just said, and you know, it just says like the journey, like it's not for everybody.
No, absolutely. I mean, that you make a great point there. It's because some people just do it just to do it, but you really got to have the passion for whatever you're doing. Especially, I mean, there's people we know that spend a lot of money and on masterminds and don't finish or are not even are doing something different. So you just got to find your niche and kind of go forward. Now, my question to you is, did you know right away when the first day were you like day one, like, okay, this is what I want to do? Because people talk, hey, I want to do real estate, but then do you really want to do real estate? You know what I mean? Just that question. Did you find out right away? Did it take you some like a f the through the entire 3 day course and be like, okay, this is where I'm gonna invest in myself and my goal is to buy my first apartment or something like that.
Honestly, like I said, I always wanted to be in real estate, so I already knew I was gonna sign up. I just so like for me, I need to find people that are doing it and to learn from them, right? And I'm not gonna do something like I learned my lesson through the trucking company. I went into a business with some people, and I had no experience doing the trucking business. That's why it didn't go well. So when I decided to invest in this program, right, which is I was gonna surround myself with people doing it, and I was gonna learn from them. So that's why I had a a lot of energy. But me personally, whatever I sign up for, I'm always gonna finish it. I don't it don't matter how long it takes me. I tried my best to start and finish everything I start. The only way I'm gonna give up if it's like there's no other way, right? I gotta give up. I'm already in red. There's no more energy. So
now did you, when you're like, okay, this is what I'm gonna do, was there a certain, I guess, skill set that you preferred, like whether you want to asset manage, raise capital, acquisitions?
Honestly, so my first 6 months, I didn't know, right? Because I didn't have no experience in real estate. All I did was I was doing a flip during that time. That was my only experience, right? I didn't know if I wanted to asset manage. I didn't know if I wanted to do investor relations. I didn't know if I wanted to underwrite. And then, so during that little journey, I was trying to do everything by myself. So I'm like, I need to find, you know, some team members, right? Some partners to be able to help me in this industry, because multifamily or real estate is a team sport. It'll always be a team sport, just like basketball and football. It takes a team to be successful, right? If you look at all this, basketball teams are successful, right? They're great teams, but everybody has their role, right? Even the starting five, there's bench players, right? So that was I played sports. I played basketball. So I understood that. So I started looking for teammates, started networking. I found a couple partners through networking, and I figured out like what I was good at. And that was like raising capital and the rest of relations. Cause I have a lot of, you know, I'm a business owner. So I know a lot of friends that own businesses, and I got, and I do network a lot, and I do build relations with people. So that's where I was like, that's where I feel best, where I could be at. But so, it took a while to figure that out, right? And it's just like in life in general, you need to go through the path.
What I'm picking up, you identified the missing links and you kind of closed the proximity closer and closer to you, right? And so currently you have you have two partners, right? One in Illinois, one in Hawaii. How did you three end up joining forces, and why was it, why are you three?
Man, so like I said, I tried to do everything myself, and then I got on this Tuesday networking call with the mastermind I was part of, and then I found my partner Eddie, who's in Chicago. We connected well, you know, because we're Hispanic, and then our upbringing was kind of similar, where we come from, parents coming from, you know, third world countries and stuff. So we connected very well on the call. And then we just kept getting a call like, hey, let's partner up. Let's start, you know, deal sourcing, underwriting deals. During that time, it was like, we don't want to underwrite, right? That's not our best suit, right? We understand the numbers. We understand how to underwrite, but that's not our strong suit, right? Eddie was doing more of the broker relationship, building relationship, but all that takes time. So we wanted to cut time on submitting offers. So Frank, during that time, I met him previously at a two-day workshop in Dallas. I actually flew to Dallas and for 2 days with the mastermind I was part of. We walked a couple properties they closed on, and he was there, but he was sitting in the back quiet. I knew who he was, right? I'm Frank, but he ain't say nothing. So, you know, we followed each other on social media. So one day he just posted, during the time he was looking for an underwriter, he posted a sign on, I forgot, Instagram or Facebook. And I just hit him on a DM. Hey, what's up, bro? How you been? And then I'm like, yo, we're looking for an underwriter. I don't know how the conversation went. He's like, matter of fact, me and my team had a falling out. They broke up because they submitted an offer and got to like best and final. And then the sponsor backed out on them last minute. So that hurt, you know, that hurt the camaraderie for the team. You know, a lot of this in multifamily, you know, you do a lot of unpaid work. You put a lot of work in, right? And then you get crushed sometimes, you know, when sometimes deals don't happen, right? You know, you go into due diligence and you find stuff and the owner don't want to retrade with you, and then you got to back out. So that's how we met. Us, it's just our backgrounds, right? We're minorities. We actually call ourselves Diversified Capital Partners. That's like, you know, we're dating, you know, we're partners and stuff, but we created an LLC because in the future we do really camaraderie. Well, that would be our brand name. Cause we all come from different, you know. Frank is from Maui, Eddie's Mexican, and I'm Dominican and Puerto Rican.
Good stuff, man. So, Take me through that. Like you chose your partners, you've added additional skills to your team, and like how did you find the deal? Like take us through that. Where was it?
So
What was your experience like?
For the past past 2 years, we've been cementing LOIs, left and right, underwriting, just in different markets. We was focused in Kansas City, we was looking in Charlotte, we was looking in Nashville, right? However, I met your network is your net worth. And last year at Peak Partnership, I met an operator who's actually a partner in this deal. That he gave us the opportunity to be part of this deal that was in Dallas. He was actually part of a group closing. I think they have over 2,000 units in Dallas, right? And I met him at this event. We talked, we connected very well. We stood, we stayed in contact for almost like 9 months. I was getting on their calls, their Tuesday calls, getting on the breakout rooms. And then one day he's just like, "Hey, bro, do you want to be part of a little small group we're creating to help each other close deals, right?" They invested more than me in masterminds. They sp like over six figures, so they knew like well a lot of masterminds were missing, and it was like, "Yo, we're gonna help you guys, get into a deal." So I joined their little group, and based on that relationship, this past year, this we got in contract like in November. They got. Based on the relationship, the person they work with, the sponsor, they closed four deals with this broker. They got this deal, and then he gave us the opportunity to raise, and that's how we got into our first deal. We actually had got to raise for another team that got into contract based on the relationship they had with the broker, because they closed four deals with this broker in Dallas, and here I am.
That's powerful, Willie, because like you did exactly like what we would do, and also we give advice like to other people. I was like, asset management is super important, underwriting super important, but the fastest way to get into your first deal is through the capital raising route, and whether it's for your deal or someone else's deal. But if you do it for someone else's deal, who's a sponsor who has a reputation of having 2,000 units in that market, you're setting yourself up for success, and now your brand is now starting to bubble around your or amongst your peers.
Yes, that's like best advice, right? Raise capital for the right people. They closed another deal. I could have like closed a deal last year. However, God's plan. I had my daughter during that time, so I wasn't able to capital raise. However, I was able to see how they operate during the whole time, right? Because you want to raise capital for the right people and the right team. Like this industry, you could get into a bad deal or a bad team, and it's gonna be hard getting out, right? Because we're all dating each other, we don't know each other. So I seen how they treat the residents. I see how they manage the property. I seen that they was there every day making sure shit get done. And they went through on that last asset, they went to 3 PMs, like actual property managers, because they ain't meet the standard, right? And that's the people you want to work with, right? Then make sure like shit's getting done. Like can't cut corners, because your investors and your residents come first. And if you get into a bad deal, man, like for me, since I'm new in this industry, it would have been tough, man. I would have had a bad taste. I would have had a hard conversation with the investors I had because I got them into a bad deal.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that's key. Those are key points you're making, because basically, I mean, you're screwed if your operators are not performing. That can kill the deal. If they're not pivoting and they're not holding their PMs accountable, the property's not going to function, or it's not going to do well. So that's awesome. And what I really like is you leveraged your network. Right, you leverage your network of operators, and you watch them, you vetted them out before you started jumping into their deals. And that's great, because if you think about it, if you tried to do it yourself, how long do you think it'll take? We've been in this business for a while, and we know you could be sitting around waiting for to do your own deal for years, just
Here.
because you're getting outbid. Especially how the market was the last several years. I mean, just a lot of stuff doesn't pencil out, a lot of back and forth. But I think those were a lot of good points that you made, especially you knew that you were new to this game and you leverage your network, which is a really good advice for a lot of these new guys coming in.
No, that's for sure. You gotta make sure you partner up with the right people that's very experienced, right? Because you don't want a lot of stuff goes south, like you said, Mark. A lot of people got into bad deals. That's why there's a lot of distressed properties. And if you've, I know a lot of people that started when I started, and they're in bad deals right now, and they're wishing they could get out. They trying to get lawyers involved and all this stuff because they didn't do their homework on those operators. They just they seen bright stars. And try to get into their first deal, which is, it's important to get in, but you want to make sure, you just trust the process, right? Just feel confident that the investors you bring in those teams, like you want to wake up at night, right? You don't, a lot of these people I know, not, they can't sleep because they know they're in bad deals and they know their investors are not happy with them, and I wanted to be able to wake up at night.
So Willie, with your first round of capital raising and investor relations, what are some best practices that you can share with someone that is new into investor relations?
Make sure, when you talk to your investors, figure out if this investment is right for them, right? Because we all come in, like we all want to sell, right? However, is you want to figure out if the deal is good for them, because every investor has a different they have a different need, right? But you got to ask them the right question. If you ask the right question, you'll figure out. Some people want tax benefits, right? Some people want cash flow. Some people want, they want freedom of time, right? You gotta figure out because some deals are not, some deals doesn't fit for them. And by asking them the right question is ready, if they're ready for it. You know what I mean? Another advice I could give you too is, tell people what you do more. Show them, right? So use social media, leverage social media. Because when I first started, I got asked to raise for a deal, right? And the minimum was 100,000, and I got a lot of no's because people just knew me for just on, running a couple businesses, right? They didn't know me as Willie, the real estate guy. And then once I started, leveraging social media, letting people, posting more educational stuff, and then, teaching them, and I was able to raise more capital that way.
I love hearing those stories, man. Just because, like with investor relations and capital raising, like what do you think? Do you think at a certain point, like once you understand, real estate, does kind of like does the real estate hat eventually come off and it becomes more marketing?
Yeah, for me, there's like is your brand, right? People are not investing in like your business, they're investing in you. So you become like a marketing person, right? Like they're investing in, Nine Doors Down, that's your brand, but they're really investing in John and Anthony, right? Because people want to know and like you, but they gotta trust you and they trust you guys, right? So they're gonna trust your company.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that for sure. Because when I started this business, I mean, or when I got into the real estate game, I wanted to do everything on my own. I wanted to, I think I could do everything. Capital raising was not even an option for me. I was more of like, I want to do all the underwriting and do all this stuff. Like, it's a lot of work. So you got to build that team, and that's awesome, man. Great points. Great advice for sure.
Willie, so you got your first deal in, okay? So you went to your first mastermind. What it was, you said it was 2020?
2022, I joined.
2022. Okay. So 2 years later, you identified what you wanted to do, you identified your partners, you got the mindset, and fast forward to now, 2 years later, you guys closed on your first deal. I didn't get the chance to say this earlier, but congrats, man. Congrats, because knowledge is nothing unless you took action, and you guys took action. So let me ask you this: what is next on the horizon for Cashflow Empire, whether it's the next 12 months, 3 years, 5 years?
For me, right, it just continue making an impact in our community. So the more impact we make, the more we're gonna grow. On this asset, I just want to we're gonna impact 133 lives. And we focus on B and C, right? And the previous management didn't take care of this community. It was very, very like bad, like us. I'm gonna use the word sickening how these people were getting treated because They was living in fear for even if they'll call the property manager, they were scared that the property manager called the police. A lot of the asset we bought was Hispanic, and if you know, we do have a big border crisis, and a lot of these family members are moving into these families' houses, right? So, you know, if they have a work order, they don't want to call because then they'll face ICE, immigration. So they was living in that type of environment. The kids couldn't play outside because they'll get charged $150 if the kids play soccer outside. A lot of South Americans, right? They love soccer, right? And these little kids love soccer. They live, breathe that. They couldn't play that outside. They shut down the community center. So for the next, 5, 10 years, we want to make the biggest impact we could do in our community.
Yeah, you know what? I think it was like maybe like a day or two after you guys closed. I remember, it was on Instagram. You guys were all wearing the red shirts, right? And you guys were like, we're cleaning up the properties and, just the amenities around there. Like, how did that build a bond amongst your team? And also, how did that connect you guys to the tenants of the property?
We connect. Man, a couple they gave us tamales. That's how connected it was with us because they was ha so happy. We that property management. Well, new owners were Hispanic, right? It was able to connect. They know where we knew where they came from, and we came from like almost similar situations. And then the team just like it hit me. It's like, damn, these people like you don't know what you don't know, and I didn't know how these people were living. So that's when I'm like, yo, this is what I really want to do. This is like, really change people's lives, like change a whole 133 people's lives. There was a tenant that been living there 26 years, right? And their kids left because that's how bad the property was. And then she asked like, hey, are you guys gonna do, you're gonna do what you're gonna say? Yes. She's like, and we're gonna turn over these units, and that family's gonna move right back, and they're gonna be together. So it's stuff like that, seeing people's smiles on faces. Like the pool wasn't fixed for like 3 years, right, in this property. And then people's asking me like, think about it. Dallas gets hot. It gets really hot. You got a family-based apartment complex with kids. They can't even go swimming. So being able to provide a safe, a quality, a better quality of life for these residents is very, it's no better feeling than that.
Yeah, bro. I mean, I think a lot of people don't realize, like, getting into real estate sometimes is not just all about the money and the wealth and, a lot of it too is we want to improve these communities, right? Like we go in there, we like you just mentioned, you guys what cleaned up the pool and cleaned up the properties. Like we're going in there putting better tenants in, right? We're doing renovations. And what we're doing is building a better community so that your kids could go outside and play something safe, have go to school, come home, play in the playground. Like that's what we see value. So, I mean, those are great points. And
And
you realize that in real estate, you don't realize until you're actually doing it and seeing how these other people live. So it's pretty awesome.
we had a lot of like big time operators when we posted what we did. Like, yo, you guys, we don't even do that, right? But thank you for doing that, because now we're gonna start doing that when we close on properties, right? To make, connect with the residents stuff. So it was awesome, man. It was awesome. It was a great experience.
And as far as I think we're coming up on our segment here. Wow, time went by really fast. But want to ask you, what is your superpower?
My superpower is building relationships. That's why I do investor relations. I love connecting with people and learning more. Just talking life, right? When I meet people, we talk life before we talk about investments. Because I want to know if, we have the same values, integrity, same vision, stuff like that, work ethic. So I think that's why I met one of my partners down there, because building the right relationships,
I love that superpower, Willie. It's just that the power of connecting with people. And Anthony has this saying where, well, at least when I first started going into real estate, we're paying attention to like where the U-Haul trucks were all migrating to and moving to. Anthony said this probably a few months ago. It was like, you could do all the work and here on earth, but the U-Haul, it doesn't follow you to the grave. That impact that you leave on the planet, like after you're gone, that's when I think that's when the real legacy truly kicks in. And And you guys are in that 1 minute reel or minute and a half reel. Like I saw that. I saw that. The red shirts. You guys were eating pizza as a team, sweeping things up, cleaning stuff out. So I major
People
props to you guys.
always remember how you make them feel. So
Yeah.
like when you could have people come, like you said, to your graveyard, right? But they come in because the way you made them feel, you know.
Yeah.
That's why they come and show you respect, because the way you make them feel the same, you know, you gotta treat people correct.
Yeah, absolutely, man. So as we're winding down, Willie, we're gonna go into our lightning round. We typically have two questions, but I'm gonna have a third one at the very end. These are probably some of the toughest questions you'll ever face. Are you ready for this?
Definitely shoot him.
All right, cool. You're stuck on an island. It could be somewhere in the Bahamas, Latin America, anywhere. Just you're stuck on an island. You don't have friends or family around, but you're able to bring your iPhone. Okay. What is that one artist, musical artist, or one album that you'll load up on your phone that you're able to listen to over and over and over again until you actually get rescued?
Album, I'm
Or
a big,
artist.
it's not an artist, it's a sound. I'm big on high frequency, so I always put like high frequency confidence, you know, feel better sound. So I'm just big on that, so that's what I'll put. Just listen to that sound and just, you know, make my brain work.
So are you big on a 432 megahertz?
I'm in
A
530.
530? Okay, so you're really high frequency.
Yeah, I'm big on frequency. Every morning
Interesting.
when I go to the gym, that's what I listen to. So music wise, I listen to all type of music, you know. There's no, but if I had to choose that, I'll choose a frequency song.
You know what? I've never heard that before, ever. Even outside the podcast, so it's a certain frequency wave that you're
Yes.
constantly listening to on your headphones.
Yeah, no, I go on YouTube and then just put it. Yeah.
Interesting, right? And
Wow,
so,
good stuff.
and I'm sure you feel like your body, like your
Yes,
fluids
you know,
starts to
and
change up.
you feel any negative thoughts, like, you know what I mean, anything draining, and it just starts leaving, man, because, you know, that's what I do personally. You know, everybody has their own
Yeah,
thing.
no, that's cool, man. I mean, I'm gonna go look it up. Actually, after this, I'm
Yeah,
gonna go look it up
same
and
here.
I'm gonna
Now,
work out a little bit later. So
if you guys don't know, man, music, there's a emotional, you know, Hertz chart, right? So certain sounds make you feel emotional, you know what I mean? Brings different emotions. So big on
got
that.
it.
Try to stay high frequency, try to surround myself with high frequency people, because, you know, we're very our and we absorb a lot of energy. So
Slow jams get me all, the 90s slow jams, get me all emotional, bro.
you start thinking sad and stuff, you know, it's like, nah.
Yeah. Awesome, man. Good stuff. So I guess, so here's my question. You mentioned that you really like to travel with your family and or solo for events. So my question is, do you prefer tropical if you were to vacation, or do you prefer mountainous areas? And if so, where would it be?
Man, I only been to Dominican Republic, so I like outside. So I like tropical. But I really want to go to Jamaica. That's what I heard. It's a powerful. So I haven't been there. So I'm trying to go to Jamaica with the family.
Nice. Punta Cana, we want to go there. That's Dominican, right?
Yeah, that's
Punta
where I've
Cana?
been. I had a good and bad experience there.
Okay. Tell
Yeah.
us about it.
Oh man, I don't know what I ate, but I'm a very healthy eater, but something there, man, I was in the bathroom for a whole week straight. It was like the third day I got there too. Something, I was like, just make sure whatever you eat is cooked, man. Like
Yeah.
very cooked, because, you know, if you do go there and you drink a lot of stuff, you just forget about it, right? But yeah, something really hit me bad. So that was mine. But Punta Cana is dope. It was dope. You gotta go there, you gotta go eat in the sky. We stood at the Excellence, and that's one of the top resorts there. But we did a lot of excursions and stuff. It's pretty dope.
Cool, good stuff.
Yeah, I definitely want to visit that one day. So let's zone in on the DR a little bit more. So Willie, like I grew up playing baseball, man. So I knew all about the Dominican ball players. I even like went to I watched a couple games for the World Baseball Classic, and I watched the Dominican Republic play against Japan. And I was just so fascinated how Dominican players were, instead of just like throwing around the horn in the infield, they were like tossing it to the outfielders as well. And just the way that Dominicans celebrate and also Japanese celebrate, it was like, it was so different, but it unified the people. So my question to you is, you're managing a team, right? So it's game seven, right? Bases loaded. You're down by three. You can only pick one batter. Are you going to pick Albert Pujols or Vladimir Guerrero?
Oh, that's a good one. Jesus. I think I'll take Vlad because Vlad hit the most grand slams, man. And I believe he hit the most grand slams. But I can't go wrong with both, man. Albert Pujols, man, over 700 home runs, man. Top baseball player ever. Like, but Vlad is my favorite player was Manny Ramirez, even though.
Okay.
That was my favorite Dominican, Pedro Martinez. I was a big Boston Red Sox fan.
Oh yeah.
And then,
Ortiz as well.
yeah, David, Big Poppy. But those are my two favorite players and continue like forever, be my favorite player. And then, Manny played for the Dodgers. So I'm a big Dodger fan too right now because,
Yes.
Manny played there.
Yeah, well, one thing that impressed me about Vladimir Guerrero, the dad, not the son. The son's a great player too, but he would hit it out the park if the ball was like at the shoelaces. It could be at the eyebrow level. It could be outside,
Looks like
inside. He
his
was
son too.
yakking
His
it.
son. His son. They'll. It don't matter where you can't. They don't have no. They can hit it from anywhere.
Anywhere.
One
Anywhere.
hand too. They
Yep.
can do it one hand.
All right. I love it, man. We got a little baseball talk for the first time on this podcast, man. So before we sign off, Willie, man, how can people get a hold of you, man? Website, social media, any information that you want to share?
Man, you can find me on Instagram. I am Willie Enriquez and my website, WV Capital Holdings. I have a free webinar up there to teach people how to passively invest in real estate. So those are the two.
I love that. Yeah. And yeah, make sure to follow him on Instagram, guys. Like I went on their first like chat like last week, and it was fun, man. It was fun and a lot of knowledge was shared. Willie, man, I just want to thank you for taking the time, hopping on the podcast with Anthony and myself, man. And I
It was
wish
an
you all
honor.
the best. And I see bright things coming from this action taker, man.
Thank you. It was an honor for you guys having me here.
Yep. So
Thank you, man. Appreciate it. Good stuff.
on that note, guys, please follow us, like us on the Nine Doors Down show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn, YouTube, pretty much your favorite podcast platform. And on that note, we out.
Peace.